And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Welcome to show number 76. Yep, we're at full strength too this
week. Yeah, look who's back. El Jimmy.
Dr. Jim.
What's Spanish for doctor?
El Doctor.
El Doctor. El Doctor Jimmy.
Buenas noches, hombres.
You picked up the language, the whole thing.
My daughter-in-law mocks my Spanish, though. I suspect that I haven't perfected my accent yet.
Oh, by your next visit, I'm sure.
Right, right. I did figure out how to order coffee. It's funny. Like, I've gone to Northern Europe and Southern Europe. Now, you go to Germany, you might as well be in Chicago. I mean, everybody speaks English.
Ah, yeah.
When you go to Southern
Europe.
And
there's Starbucks probably everywhere,
too. I mean, there is Starbucks.
Is there really?
Well, plenty of Starbucks in Spain, too.
Okay.
But they serve what the Spanish people like to drink, which I think is pretty narrow-minded of them.
Very selfish.
Very selfish. There's got to be at least 6 to 10 Americans go in there every day, and they should dictate what the coffee taste should be. But with the language, you know, when you go to Northern Europe, everybody speaks, every hotel, everything like that, they speak English. You go to Southern Europe, you're not always going to encounter that kind of thing. So, but they're pretty helpful. Usually there's somebody who can help you out. But I try to at least be able to get in the morning, go in and be able to get a cup of coffee. So the coffee, everybody drinks espresso over there. They drink all these fancy, espresso and, you know, lattes and all this stuff. But the only coffee I drink here is coffee.
Okay.
So you got to get Cafe Americano.
Well, that's what you get.
That's what you have to ask
for. That's what you have to ask for. So what they do is they take an espresso.
They
and
call you gringo too?
No. They're very polite, very nice people. So when you get a Cafe Americano, it's espresso, and they water it down with hot water.
Yeah.
Okay. But then my son tells me, your kind of coffee, you just get a coffee con leche, which is coffee with milk. So I got that a couple of times. And basically, it's an espresso, and then they give you a bunch of milk. I don't like that much milk in my coffee. Right. Okay. So I said, I'm not listening to him. I got to come up with my own recipe. So I came up. I said, I know what I want. I want a Cafe Americano with a little bit of milk. So I had to figure out how to say that. So it's Cafe Americano con un poco de leche.
Un poco de leche.
Sounds
that means a little bit of milk.
A little bit of milk.
Okay.
It sounds somewhat romantic.
It does, doesn't it? Gosh, I bet you the chicks swooning over him
crazy.
They did have a dazed look in their eyes.
Dr. Jim.
And then orange juice. You have to order orange juice. Now you would think orange juice would be pretty simple. So this is zumo de naranja. Now I'm not sure if it's Zuma or it's Hugo.
Now are they like laughing hysterically behind the counter?
No, they actually appreciate
someone trying.
Trying.
Yeah.
If you try, they're very helpful.
Okay.
Not that they're never unhelpful, but it's like they're very understanding if you're trying to speak the language. And a lot of them, especially if you go into like a little coffee shop, they don't speak English at all.
Oh.
The orange juice is incredible. You have never had orange juice like this.
They probably don't bother with the food coloring, right?
Is it
pale?
No.
No?
It is commercial orange.
It
looks like it's in a commercial.
Okay.
But it is unbelievable how good it is.
Oh, I love orange juice too.
It is so.
So Spain must grow their own oranges.
Yeah. Huge orange.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah.
Valencia. You ever hear of Valencia oranges?
Sure, yeah. Valencia oranges.
Yeah, Valencia is in Spain. And it's
there
got a
you
big...
Go.
Who knew?
That's
Who
the
knew?
Orange. That's the orange growing region. Ben went down, and he went down there to run in a marathon. He went down, and he said, you go down, you go along the road into Valencia, and you just see orange trees all over the place. You walk down the street in the city, and there's orange trees. Oranges are falling off the trees.
Did you go to Valencia?
No, I didn't go to Valencia. I was just in Barcelona, and we went to Madrid, and the orange juice was incredible.
Huh. Now, when we last met with our intrepid
foreign art, correspondent,
art explorer or whatever.
The art scene.
How was the art scene, Dr. Jim?
I tell you, you know.
The paintings.
I have, you know, I'm a student of art.
Well, we know that. We know. Yeah. That goes without saying.
So anyway, I've seen art in many places.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of art.
I see art in the studio. I can see art.
Right in the studio, yeah. That's right.
I see art in nature.
He's a Renaissance man.
I'm a lot of things. But we went to there's a huge museum in Madrid, the Prado. And it's like the Louvre. I mean, it's just huge. And so I'm walking around there and I'm looking, you know, I got all these masterpieces and all these famous artists and everything else like that. And there is just like, I can't, like every other painting is a female nude. It really dawned on me. I think all these guys became artists for the chicks.
So they could paint nudes.
Something there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, so these guys, I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's like the forerunner of the Playboy photographer or something, I guess.
And you know what? It's out there in public spaces for everybody to enjoy, too.
It's art.
That's right.
It's art.
It's not pornographic.
No, it's not.
If it was a photograph.
That'd be obscene.
It'd be obscene, but if it's a lifelike painting, it's
right,
art.
Right. You
it's
know, art, you yeah. just say, this yeah. is, the title of the painting is Blue Eyes.
You know, because, what eyes?
I want to paint your eyes, but we have to get rid of the distraction around you.
You know, the thing is, probably, how long?
Put the eyes in a natural setting.
How
the garments are distracting.
This will take us at least. Yeah,
the garments will take away from the eyes.
I stole Jim's line. He said earlier.
It'll take at least a month. We'll have to do this for hours.
How long did it take to?
And let's have a glass of wine. Yeah, relax.
No, some lunch and orange juice. With some vodka.
A Valencia screwdriver. So anyway, it was. Although I got to say one thing, I did go to one museum. And I saw they had a bunch of Picassos. And Picasso paint, I don't know what he was painting. Yeah. He was supposedly news, but I'm not sure he was.
Yeah,
he was
Picasso with like the blocks.
He was all weird, kind of abstract. Strange stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was all. I don't get him at all. I don't see what he's painting. I don't, you know. That
and this
stuff.
Is from an art aficionado.
This is
well, he just there's just certain types of art.
The nudes.
Well, the nudes.
That's pretty connection.
I have my specialty.
Yeah,
my specialty
that's true.
Is he specializes in nudes.
Specializes in nudes.
You wonder if you'd seen Picasso in no nudes, if you would have been more taken with Picasso. And if you're not the nudes, if you saw the nude second. You know?
I doubt it. If you guys have been catching some of this on the news, but it seems like there's been a lot of going back into history and finding all the wrinkles in some of these iconic,
we like to find
heroic,
we
Americans.
Like to find flaws in people. Yeah.
And I think even Mayor Pete is going on record that Thomas Jefferson may be
he wants to
should
kick
be brought
him,
down to size.
Take him down a peg.
Take him down a peg.
Yeah, didn't he say something about the? The memorial should be brought down, or what was his?
I'm not sure.
Street names, or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it might have been
yeah.
a smaller scale, but get rid of his name on some public, infrastructure.
I suppose that's always a danger when you put somebody's name on something, and then the definition of what it means to be a noble person changes, or whatever.
Yeah, but, I agree. It's almost rewriting history, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what's the end game here.
Well, speaking of that, you probably saw recently where they uncovered some FBI files on Martin Luther King.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah. His, so again, it's like.
Well, yeah, it's not. Is that really germane to what he did?
Right.
For America?
No. Should it tarnish the civil rights movement? Absolutely not.
No.
His contributions. JFK. What we learned about JFK. Right.
Yeah.
Of
course. But another note: did JFK really accomplish anything?
He got us into the space race for sure.
Fair point.
And he would have made a great Republican today.
That's
true. Not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
He'd be conservative.
He'd be primary.
yeah, that's true. He'd be subbing for Rush Limbaugh when Rush was on vacation.
I think he probably would end up being a great president. I mean, some people think he was in his shortened tenure, but Peace Corps, there's other things. Well, we digress a little bit. I guess the thought was, do we put these people on pedestals and do we expect too much of them? I mean, they are human.
But I think maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we get past this idea of making heroes out of people who are, when all is said and done, just like us.
Yeah. You're going to be disappointed. And I say they're, in some ways, they're not like us because I think with power comes temptation.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And power breeds lust for power as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe all of us would be behaved that way in that situation. But like Dave and I were talking, it's like, so put these people up as heroes, you're going to be disappointed just about every time. That's what I've learned.
Right.
Where are the heroes? There are heroes out there. I think they're in our neighborhood. Families that are raising their kids, putting their kids first. They're volunteering, in schools. I think there's a lot more heroes in our neighborhoods.
To me, when a hero is somebody who does something when it's easier to not do it.
Okay. Even flawed individuals. I mean, there's these people, these politicians, as flawed as they are, some of them have done heroic deeds, right?
They have done good things.
You have to separate the deeds from the person.
Well, what's heroic about it? I mean, what did they have something to lose? Did they put their life on the line? Were they in a situation that was unpleasant, uncomfortable, and they chose to stay in it even though they had a choice of leaving?
Well, but it sounds like King.
Yeah.
When you think about it,
yeah.
I mean, that was a rough life that he chose.
That was heroic.
That was very heroic.
No question of his heroic deeds. No question.
Right. He stood up and endured abuse and ridicule when he didn't have to.
Right. Rosa Parks.
Or Rosa Parks.
That was an act of heroism.
Acts of heroism, yeah. And then there are people we treat as heroes who haven't done anything heroic.
Yeah.
I don't blame people for, for running away from the fire.
Yeah.
I'd be running away myself.
Right.
But the fireman who goes in, he's heroic.
Yep.
And I think what we're saying, he's heroic, but he's also human.
Right.
He or she's also human.
You're going to find out he's cheating on his wife?
Yeah.
They've got issues. You end up finding out for
right.
most of these
right.
famous
and
people.
And it really doesn't diminish the act.
The heroic nature of
Yeah, you have to separate
did,
the heroic
life
deed
or
from
their,
what
they, or the deed.
But, yeah.
But I think that what we like to do is, I don't know if this is just America or whatever, but we like to tear those people down.
Yes.
Well, I think we don't distinguish. We don't distinguish between the truly heroic and the famous that we like to tear down once we discover that they're like us. And then we take somebody like a George Washington or a Thomas Jefferson, we just lump them in with the celebrities, and then we decide to tear him down.
Yeah. You guys have been to D.C. I remember going to the Jefferson Memorial and just being awestruck. And when I think, right, he was the primary author of the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, what a great man. And in the year 2019, to try to find dirt and try to bring him down and try to remove his name from streets or monuments, I don't understand.
Well,
I just don't understand.
I think part of that, in this case, plays to the base. Okay, and I think what a lot of this is that trying to get people revved up with these kind of thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, there's also that's really gets to be interesting because the three of us look on our history as if it's our history. People who are denigrating the history of some of, say, the founding fathers do not feel as if it's their history. It's history in which they were the victim of that time. And so it speaks to a lack of connection, I think, with... So when I'm sitting here and talking about the heroic nature of what a George Washington did or a Thomas Jefferson did...
All of them were heroes. They spoke out against the crown, the powerful crown.
I'm speaking of, but the people who wanted, who look to have him removed or have them being criticized for the slavery issue, they are not heroes to them.
Even though we wouldn't be here having this discussion today if it weren't for them.
Right.
Well, by that definition, then, nobody's a hero. Because everybody,
if you're flawed, you can't be a hero.
No, if you're human, you can't be a hero.
Right.
You can do heroic things.
Right.
But you can't be a hero.
But you're never going to be celebrated with that kind of thinking.
Right.
Because we're all flawed.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
Jefferson, so get rid of the monuments.
Yeah, well, you might as well get rid of every monument that ever existed.
Right.
Well, in my world, perfect world, the founding fathers, they're untouchable. Their monuments are grandfathered in. Yeah. Anyone post the birth of our nation, you know, we could take under serious consideration. But this country's was so fragile. And if any one of those, I keep saying this, if George Washington hadn't been around, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, John Adams, those four guys, any one of those four, I don't think we'd be here now.
For everything to come together that at that time, that was remarkable.
It is remarkable. Yep. And I don't care what they did in their personal life, those monuments, they stand forever as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Mm. Well, let Mayor Pete know.
So take that, Mayor Pete. So we kind of went down multiple paths there, and I don't know, maybe you can help sum it up for us, Rev D.
Well, I think what we're saying is that these were still remarkable men who did remarkable things, but they were human. And because they're human, they were flawed. But it doesn't take away from what they did being remarkable.
If you're looking for these people to be heroes, through and through, you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
You're going to you have to look at the heroic deeds and separate them sometimes from maybe what was happening in their private life. Is that fair?
That's fair. And it goes, I'm reminded what, I think it was Charles Barkley. Somebody was talking about, I think it was Barkley, and somebody was telling him he was a role model. And basically he said, you're crazy. I'm not a role model.
He says, don't
look at me or any sports guy as a role model, a hero. That's not me. And I think that, that's it. That's it. Look at your dad or your neighbor, or there are heroes out, or people to be emulated out there.
But it's probably not going to be a celebrity.
Exactly.
Well, we've got a new segment for the show called What Was AOC Thinking?
Yeah, it's, and I think that's somebody who will keep giving us quotes that we can dissect here and try to figure out what
insights
into her. Let's try this. Let's figure out what she really meant on this. Now, she was talking about community gardens being part of her New Green Deal that would help the environment.
Wait a minute, just growing what? Growing veggies?
Growing, I guess, growing crops. In,
crops, yeah.
Crops,
okay.
Growing gardens. Veggies, community
urban
gardens.
Urban farming.
Urban farming, that's right. Better, because they did that here in Detroit.
They
remember?
Did.
They had some of that. Yeah. So, all right, so this is a quote. Maybe you can explain what she meant by this. But when you really think about it, when someone says that it's too hard to do a green space that grows yucca instead of, I don't know, cauliflower or something, what you're doing is that you're taking a colonial approach to environmentalism.
Colonial approach to environmentalism.
So what is she saying? That yuccas are more friendly to the environment than...
Native American and...
Then cauliflower came
invaders.
From England. What is?
I don't have a clue. I'm hoping you guys. I really don't know what she's getting at.
Yucca.
Cauliflower versus yucca.
Colonials. So growing cauliflower is a colonial.
It's colonialism. It's old school vegetable.
I guess.
Seen
maybe
its
that's
better
it.
Days.
Old
so
world
yucca.
Vegetable.
Old world vegetable.
So have you ever...
You should be growing yucca plants. Okay.
Has anyone ever enjoyed yucca?
I don't even know what yucca is.
A nice yucca and some nice mashed yucca with some sour cream.
Yeah.
Or the nice avocado. I don't...
So, all right. So you guys think you've got to figure it out. So explain it now. What does she mean?
I think that she's... if you grow cauliflower, you're not down for the fight. It's got to be yucca.
You're not with the people.
You're not with, the people. Yucca will be better for the people and better for the environment.
Okay.
Than cauliflower.
Thank you for interpreting that.
Than cauliflower. Okay. Of course, mashed cauliflower is pretty tasty. I don't know.
I like cauliflower crust on pizza now.
Yeah, that's all right.
I wonder what AOC would say about that. Well,
get a yucca crust is what she would say.
I guess so.
You colonialists.
Oh, man. The gift that keeps giving.
There you go.
Yucca.
So I understand you have an update on one of our...
Yeah, I do. You know, we talked about
Friar
this...
Boneheads.
At the beginning of Lent.
Yeah.
Del Hall. And he was the gentleman who was just going to drink beer for Lent.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah. Remember that?
Oh, he was going to give up all nutrition.
Yes. He was kind of a real hero to us.
He was. He was a hero. I hope he's not flawed, because this was a great idea. But he did do it. He drank 2 to 5 beers
a day.
Okay, and that's all he had was beer, water. He did water. He drank a specially crafted Doppelbock.
Okay.
And Doppelbock, it was, he got this recipe from, I think, monks in the, 1600s, that this is what they drank to...
Monks no alcohol. Monks. They ain't no alcohol.
You ever notice that?
They do.
They do.
They really do.
They really do know their alcohol, you know? I digress. But anyway, he did this. He drank this nice Doppelbock, gave him nutrition, dropped 43 pounds.
43
wow.
pounds?
Drinking beer.
They always said it was the snacks that went along with the
That's
beer.
That's right.
It's the food.
It's not the beer.
It's the food
that'll kill you.
It's the pretzel and the beer.
The
pretzel and the pizza.
Yeah,
That's what did it.
The pretzel and the pizza.
That's what did it.
And the poo-poo platter.
That's right.
Remember that?
Oh, remember those poo-poo platters? They were the best.
At the Yacht Club.
That's right. Dropped 43 pounds, 2 to 5 beers a week. Felt like he was in his 20s.
No kidding.
He felt great. Felt great after.
Wow. That's inspiring.
So,
you know, it's inspiring.
So we might want to think about that.
Next Lent.
Well, yeah. Well, even now. Getting us some Doppelbock.
Getting us back to the softball days shape.
You want to, you know, you got to drop a quick 10?
Or drop it, you know, 10 pounds in 10 years. He feels 20
right.
years younger.
Yeah.
You know,
man.
Maybe he discovered the fountain of youth.
There's no time like the present.
He's probably so darn hammered. He just felt like that.
I feel great.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again.
That's a great follow-up.
Good for
great
Del.
Follow-up.
Good for Del.
That's a feel-good story.
There it is. That's a good way to end. Good way to end. I'll feel good.
on that note,
Killer,
it's a wrap.
Killer, Dr. Jim, continue to sleep with one eye open.
Oh, no, why?
Right now, just for now. Yeah, North Korea sees saber rattling again.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Putin's out there.
No,
you know, you
no
don't
more,
know what's hey,
no
you know,
restful night
no,
sleep.
You don't know what happens with the tariffs and everything
geez.
Right now.
Okay, one eye open.
Rare earth metals.
That, and, yeah, the metals are going.
One
yeah,
eye open.
One eye open, yeah. Boys.
Darn it. Dr. Jim.
As always, illegitimi non caberundum est.
Until next time.
If you wish to be part of our email distribution with links to our YouTube streams, please send an email request to yachtclubshow@gmail.com. Music provided by Detroit's own The Renfields.